On today's episode of Hoops 360, we break down the Fever-Mercury scuffle, how Caitlin Clark drew her fifth tech of the season, plus how the WNBA is officially celebrating its 30th anniversary season and the Commissioner's Cup championship between rivals New York and Las Vegas.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into Hoops 360. Cass is back. We missed her very much. We're excited to get her back in the fold on all things W. So in today's edition of Hoops 360, we break down, can we say the scuffle is maybe a nice fair word to use that we saw with the Fever and the Mercury. Caitlin Clark receives her fifth technical of the season. We saw ejections. We saw tees thrown all around the place. So we'll break all of that down. We'll also highlight the official tip-off to the WNBA's 30th anniversary, looking back on that Liberty Sparks matchup and all of the pomp and circumstance and celebration that had to do with that matchup. And last but certainly not least, we preview the iconic Commissioner's Cup matchup that we are going to get between the Liberty and the Aces, and the little preview that we saw of it on Tuesday night. So let's get into it. She's Cassandra Negley. I am Caroline Fenton. Cass, it is so lovely to see your face and so happy to have you back on the pod.
Thanks. It's nice to be back, even though we enjoyed our little outdoorsy touch and grass vacation.
Ugh, everybody needs a touch grass.
Touch grass. Except if you're on an alpine mountain, because those are very fragile ecosystems. Don't touch the grass. Stay on the rocks.
Touch those. Thank you very much. And that is Ecology and Environmental Lessons with Cass 101. We learn something new every single day on the hardwood and on or off the grass, depending on how fragile the ecosystem may be. We came into this pod today giggling and hooting and hollering. Because we were looking back on that Fever-Mercury game that we got on Monday night. And if you didn't watch it, I highly recommend you do so. There were tees flying all around the place. Sophie Cunningham gets teed up. Caitlin Clark gets her fifth of the season. Maisha Hines-Allen gets two and gets ejected. Dawana Bonner got teed up. Alyssa Thomas got teed up in this one. Like, there is clearly zero love lost between Dawana Bonner and her former team, short-lived, but former team, Indiana Fever, and the entirety of that team. Cass, it was, I was following along on all of the discourse on this. And of course, anything that Caitlin Clark touches turns into a conversation, it turns into a controversy, it turns into a debate, and turns into discourse, which I'm tired of, but it is what it is.
Same.
And I'm just watching it and just laughing. That it was just competitive people in a competitive game where tensions were riding high and they just had a clash and nobody got hurt. Everything was fine. And it was just entertainment on the evening.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a headline smorgasbord of technicals, like the people involved. As soon as it started and things had been getting chippy, like the play before Dawana Bonner and Caitlin Clark are tied up, don't know whose fault it was, don't care, it happened, whatever. And then you have DB involved and AT comes to her defense and CeCe says something and Maisha Hines-Allen is around. Sophie, I think the thing you and I were laughing about the most, because we messaged each other right before we hopped on, was Sophie Cunningham's point.
Just
that will
point.
Live in infamy. Just stood there.
Down.
And then she like pointed a little bit more and she's like, hilarious. And then Raven Johnson, I saw this photo online. Someone had shared like Raven is the kid when like the next generation up is fighting at Christmas and you and your cousins are like, whoa, let's like go for
what's
a walk. Like
on?
Get out of here. Like, let's let them handle this. You know, Raven's like, huh. A lot going on in this this situation.
Like, I'm new here, so like, whatever beef you guys have, I am not a part of.
And there's so much beef. Like you mentioned the whole Dawana Bonner of it, and they talked about that on both broadcasts. Like that is definitely a part of this and how that was handled. But even before that, even before Dawana Bonner signed, like part of the reason it was so surprising was because months prior in that playoff series between the Connecticut Sun, where DB and AT were at the time, and the Fever, Alyssa Thomas basically called out the Fever fan base and said they were acting inappropriately. And that became a huge thing. And she didn't step back from that. But like, that's part of this too. Like Fever fans don't like her. Fever players probably took issue with that. Like there are so many like, it's beef. Like, isn't this what we want? We want a reason to watch that is not just, oh yeah, this is good basketball. Like, this is what we love about sports. I agree with you. I think everything is taken too seriously, and we're going to kind of dive into some other aspects of this, but like, it was fun. It was funny. There was chippiness. It was great. We're going to see him again tonight, Wednesday night.
And like, that is must-see TV. If you think that everyone's gotten over that and everyone's going to come into this matchup on Wednesday night all kumbaya, you are crazy. Because I expect it to be the same kind of thing. I expect it to be physical. I expect it to be chippy. I expect all of the referees to be, you know, crossing their T's and dotting their I's and, you know, ready to you know, call any sort of foul that needs to be called. And like, this is what makes sports fun. Right? We're all, sports fans all kind of have screws just a little bit loose. We love the physicality of it all. Like, when you go to a hockey game, what's the best hockey game that you could attend? It's the games where they get in fights. They drop the gloves. Everyone gets out of their seats. They raise their drinks. They're like, yeah, let's go. We're all total gluttons for physicality and conflict. In this certain situation, nobody was hurt. No punches were thrown. Nobody colored outside of the lines. None of it got too far that we know of. I mean, like, Caitlin Clark's over here clapping into the huddle and getting teed up. Like, it was so benign and so mild that, like, not everything has to be a sweeping statement about the state of the WNBA and the state of women's basketball and the state of women's sports. We'll get into it in just a moment, talking about the wonderful and lovely ceremonious night it was celebrating the WNBA's 30th anniversary. And Lisa Leslie was talking about how at the time, in the inaugural season, all of the players felt like they had to constantly carry torches for the league. And I'm sure that's true. And I think there's a part of that that's still true today, that players constantly feel this obligation to be advocates to the sport, which is lovely. And I think that a lot of players take that role very, very seriously. But sometimes we can just have fun. Like, sometimes players can just get into it. Sometimes there are off the court things, locker room things that carry into the court, and it turns into really great television. Not everything has to be some giant, sweeping, philosophical statement about the state of the union. Like, can't we just enjoy something that at its core is just entertainment?
Yes. Yes. That is such a great point. And I think we still talk about throughout women's sports, these players as role models, like in terms of they have to be role models. And I just don't think that's true. Like, it's interesting on the men's side how we talk about how they don't have to be role models. Maybe you don't model yourself after certain players because as a parent, you don't like what they're doing. But as women, it's like automatically they need to be one. On the topic of like, Caitlin Clark takes over every conversation we have, like when you and I were chatting before hopping on, it is wild to me that we are talking so intensely, like the entire ecosystem is talking so intensely about Caitlin Clark drawing a technical foul when four other players received a technical foul in that dust up alone. And then, as you mentioned, Myesha Hines-Allen is ejected the next play down the court because she draws a second technical. And I'm not saying that we have to go deep into like, Myesha Hines-Allen was ejected for tech. It's fine. Like, it was a chippy game. There are things going on. I went back. So much like yourself, probably, I was watching on USA Network because that was the national broadcast. I went back, WNBA League Pass. I watched the Mercury broadcast, which I think people objectively view maybe pretty biasedly. And I watched the Fever broadcast, which naturally is going to be Fever biased. But I think Pat Boylan and Debbie Antonelli do a pretty good job. Debbie Antonelli does national broadcasts for ESPN for college basketball. So she kind of has that wheelhouse.
Yeah.
The Mercury broadcast, I thought what was funny was when they were talking about all this, they believed that Caitlin Clark got the technical for taunting because she was kind of riling up the crowd. I guess you could say maybe the clap was taunting. Caitlin said the ref told her that clapping was what got her technical. Either way, the Mercury broadcast said, and I quote, "We saw that with Copper, Kalia Copper, the other day with Seattle, where she got a taunting call. So right in that moment, the Mercury broadcast is saying, hey, this exact thing happened the other day with Kalia Copper, where she was taunting and she got a tech. Kalia Copper, by the way, who has four technicals, is only one behind Caitlin Clark, who is in the lead with Angel Reese. So a whole bunch of other people getting technicals. Shout out to Cheryl Reeve, who is three technicals and is near the top of the league as well. That's interesting.
Cheryl.
But then the Fever broadcast as well kind of rings this up. And at first, Caitlin was called for the technical, and both Pat and Debbie say in the moment, they're like, we're not clear if Caitlin deserved the technical or not, but there should be a whole heck of a lot more technicals being called here, given everything that is going on. And I say all of that just to say that, like, Caitlin is being talked about because it's Caitlin. Because to the point that you made, we all think that she should be the one making the rules or running the league or not running the league, or she's doing a bad job. She's doing great. Like, no matter what she does, like, she says it's ridiculous that she gets a technical. Do you know how many times Diana Taurasi probably said it was ridiculous I got a technical? Do you know how many times Diana Taurasi has said, like, yeah, I deserve the technical, like, it was worth it. Like, I went in the locker room and, like, watched the rest of the game. Or, like, I think she called Sue after she was ejected from a game once. And we at the time thought it was funny. She kissed Simone Augustus, which I think we have brought up on this podcast before. But, like, Caitlin gets a technical, says it's ridiculous. And we're like, oh, my gosh, the sky is falling.
I saw this tweet that was like, oh, y'all would have hated DT.
Yes.
And it's so true. If the W got the attention then that it is getting now, it's like Diana Taurasi would be painted as this, like, crazy super villain. But if you look back at, like, some clips of DT's, like a DT highlight reel of just not basketball, but just of things that she has said into a microphone, like, it's hilarious. It's funny. Because,
it is funny.
Again, she's not hurting anybody, right? She is just a fierce competitor who has no filter and is just letting it fly. And it's great television. Like, when she got up at the podium and was like, oh, I don't know much, but, like, my tech's not coming back. Like, I got that one. I earned that. And she, like, was like, yep, no problem. I got it. I earned it. So it's this is not new. And I always say this, and I feel like I have to continue to repeat it because it's not getting through to, you know, the general public. The WNBA is not a tea party. This is not a league of just people playing nice. This is a league of professional, competitive athletes who get compensated to play a sport, and they want to win. Caitlin Clark is the perfect example of somebody who wants to win at all costs. One of many people and coaches, players that we have in the league that will do whatever it takes to win. So I'm not going to either villainize or Caitlin Clark for feeling that way. I'm not going to put Caitlin Clark on a pedestal for feeling that way. It's just like this is a fun thing that I think should be, in theory, good for the league. If everybody can just take a step back and take a deep breath and just enjoy it for what it is, which is fun, competitive, chippy, back and forth basketball that we have the privilege of getting to see a rematch of tonight. And I only expect more fireworks to fly in this one.
I think while we're on that point, it's also really important to note that, like, when the ball tips, it's not a tea party. But afterward, for a lot of these players, it is. You know, we're going to talk Commissioner's Cup later, but there's a clip of Breanna Stewart after the Liberty played the Aces last night in Las Vegas. She goes over and talks to Mr. and Mrs. Wilson and Bam Adebayo and says hello to them. And, like, clearly they have a relationship. Like, I think a lot of people get so caught up in the drama of it and what they think they see online, or, like, analyzing these films and stuff. And they don't take a step back and think, like, if you're a competitive person, like, I love Scrabble, obviously. My husband is not the best speller. So when he beat me at Scrabble, like, I don't think we've played since. I was ticked. Does that mean I don't, like, love him and want to be with him? No, of course not. But, like, I'm real ticked about that.
My husband and I have made the agreement that we will not play tennis together.
Exactly. Probably similar reasons.
it's not healthy for our relationships. Exactly. So we will just eliminate it and we can play with our friends, but we will not play together. But
we don't play Mario Kart.
That all bets are off when it comes to Mario Kart. Vows get thrown out the window when Mario Kart comes out. But it is a great reminder that these are competitors on the court. You never want things to spill over into anything that's, you know, too far off the court. But, like, these are human beings, you know? Yeah. Like, but we see it all the time. Like in the NBA, for example, Dylan Brooks, who has been so vocal about how much he despises the existence of LeBron James, spent tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, for a courtside seat to Game 4, Lakers, Oklahoma City Thunder, because he wanted to watch LeBron James up close and personal get eliminated from the playoffs. Like, that is some pettiness that we all laugh about. Like, we all laugh about it. We all think it's funny. We all think it's, like, you know, just elite level pettiness and elite level trolling. But I try and kind of flip that to the WNBA. Let's just say it's Angel Reese doing that to Caitlin Clark. All of a sudden, it's not so funny anymore. But it is funny. It's just, it's, you know, it is no longer do we need to, or nor should we have ever, but no longer do we need to put the burden of being a champion for all women on the shoulders of each individual woman.
Yes.
Let them play.
I have one more question for you before we move on. I'm putting you on the spot. I was thinking about this. I genuinely have this in my notes. I'm so glad you brought up hockey. Do you think there should be a penalty box in basketball? Ooh. What would that look like?
I almost want there to be.
Right? Wouldn't that be interesting?
So in hockey, when you're in the sin bin, a camera goes straight to you, like on your face, on your reaction. I want that.
Right.
Like, I want Sophie Cunningham on an island in her own little box.
She's just sitting in the box.
Just sitting on the bench like this. That's a fabulous idea, Cass.
All right.
We'll put that in the suggestion box.
Maybe
Kathy,
for All
if you're listening. Maybe we could do that, like, in Unrivaled or AU. Like, hey, maybe just how the NFL uses the UFL as, like, an experimental league. Like, hey, we have these ideas for rules. We want you to try it out. Maybe the W could partner with one of these supplementary leagues of, like, hey, we want to try these rules out.
I like it.
You get a penalty box. I love that. We need to come up with a cute name for the penalty box, though.
All right. I love will think about it.
Yeah. Your little, your foul foyer.
Caroline, I love that we made this fun again.
Me too. You both. We're fixing basketball just one day at a time.
Oof.
Any final thoughts on Fever, Mercury, before we move on?
Just like the quick thought, in all seriousness, though, like, you had mentioned there was no punches thrown or anything like that. And we don't want to see that. So I think officiating will be a huge thing on Wednesday night. I'll be watching that game and have my eye on that specifically. I think both broadcasts kind of did mention, like, this has gotten a little bit out of hand and you don't want to see that. You want to make sure that officials have control of the game, but not over control of the game. So that will be huge coming up, knowing that they are meeting for a second time in 48 hours.
No doubt. And important to note that we can laugh and joke and have fun about this because it didn't go too far. Nobody wants to see it escalate to a certain extent that's inappropriate, that's overly physical, that's, you know, using overly vulgar language. We don't want to see it get to that point. Nobody wants to see it get to that point. But since it didn't, I think we can all just kind of have a little laugh about all of it. And another game that we were all tuned in for was the 30th anniversary. Well, 30th anniversary celebration, the 29th anniversary of the first ever WNBA game. Just for any confusion for anybody that has been a little bit confused about, wait, the first game was in 1997. That was 29 years ago. The league was born in April of 1996. The first ever game was June 21st, 1997. So the league is 30 years old. The very first WNBA game was in June of 97. So just to clear any confusion up there.
Well, we're also in the 30th season, which is what makes it confusing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, it's the 29th anniversary, but it's the 30th season.
Math is hard.
Yeah, like, you're in your... Someone compared it. It's like your first wedding anniversary, but you're in your second year of being together. Marriage. Yeah.
Yes. Calendars are hard. But it's the 30th year. And it's been 29 years since the first game. So we got a rematch of the first ever game that we got, a battle between two historic franchises in the Liberty and the Aces. And it was a who's who a star-studded WNBA lineup that we saw there. We saw Lisa Leslie there. Rebecca Lobo was there. And there was a lot of celebration, as of course there should be, that worthy of, you know, celebrating 30 years in this league, especially made even cooler by the fact that it's not like the WNBA was the first ever professional women's basketball mm-hmm. league. There were several that came before it that all fizzled out in years, if not months, because there wasn't support. There weren't enough players. There wasn't enough, you know, financial support to support those leagues long term. So the fact that the WNBA has made it 30 years is wildly impressive and something that deserves to be celebrated. Before we get into the actual game of it all, Cass, you are a WNBA historian, a women's basketball historian. Just what did you see from that game that really, you know, kind of stood out to you and made it feel special?
Yeah, I think exactly what you said, just like celebrating the history. And I think we're continuing to see that, you know, Gino Auriemma and Robin Roberts were announced as calling a one-off game coming up on July 7th between the Wings and the Liberty. And that's special because they called the first WNBA game on ESPN back in 97. They were together for 2 years calling games. Gino did too. Robin Roberts continued. But these are people who, when they spoke to us, a few of us the other day, you know, they talked about, like, Gino made this joke to us. They didn't know how to pronounce names. They didn't know a bunch of the players. You know, it was such a different time. And like, to your point about there being all of these other leagues before that, this was the first time that there was significant backing by the NBA. And Gino made a reference to, like, you know, David Stern wasn't going to let it fail. Like, this was important to him. And I think we're finally seeing that in other leagues. The PWHL has a relationship with the NHL. AUSL now has backing from MLB. And it's important to take something that has been established to help lift something that maybe has been suppressed for so many years. It really does feel like we're finally kind of into the 30th season, as we said. And it feels, I was thinking about this a lot too, to your point, like, it feels so different than the 25th even. You know, I covered the 25th very closely, but it's such a different time now. The salaries are different. Like, the emotions around it are different. People, I think, are more, you know, you bring up Lisa Leslie, but there's like Sue Wicks and all of these other kind of inaugural players that we know more about now. It feels very much like 30th and beyond.
It felt like this CBA, you know, getting agreed to before the 30th season was so poetic. You know, yeah. Teresa Witherspoon, she spoke before that game, another inaugural player, and she talked about how for so long, not even just in year one, but for so long, it was just about survival, like survival mm-hmm. of the league. What can we do to make sure that this league doesn't suffer the same fate as some of the leagues that came before it? And so for now, for so many of those players that were, you know, pioneers in the WNBA to come to this game between the Liberty and the Sparks, where multiple players are making $1 million. These players have their own shoe lines. These players are on, you know, a fixture on SportsCenter, fixture on Yahoo Sports, wink, wink. They're, you know, they're household names. They're celebrities. They're icons in the sports world. Of course, we have a lot of work to do, but to go from Teresa Weatherspoon talking about, we just wanted to make sure this league didn't fold. We just needed to make sure that we could scrounge up enough pennies to buy groceries because they're making nothing, to now, it's probably such a proud moment for them to know that, hey, because of what we did, this is all possible.
Yeah. Every time I talk to a player from those early years, like the wealth story I did earlier this year, talking to some players, it's always like, how do you feel about players suddenly making $1 million? You know, you made maybe 15,000 or what have you. And there's always such a pride. Like, this is what we wanted. And I think it's really important to know, no matter what, I guess, area you're in, especially if you're maybe of a minority stature, it's always about building. You're not going to make a leap, right? Like, it wasn't we made $15,000 in 1997 and then we made 1 million in 2000.
Yeah.
It took a long time and maybe it didn't need to take that long. That's a different conversation, but you build and you build and you build. The CBA is you build and you build and you build. And all of the women who started this league wished this for these players now and feel a pride that they helped usher that in some small way.
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point about the July 7th, Gina Auriemma, Robin Roberts, you wrote a great breakdown on yahoosports.com about, you know, the history of that, how that came to be. Check it out, Cass's breakdown on that. And there was a tweet embedded into it, and it was a clip from one of their first broadcasts. Robin Roberts looks the exact same. She hasn't aged a single day in 30 years. Gina Auriemma looks 14 years old. I was like, that's not the Gino that I know. He looks like a baby. But it is crazy. There was a crowd shot. Mm-hmm. It was was it a Sparks Utah game?
Perhaps? Yeah, the Utah Stars.
Yeah, Utah Stars with two Z's.
Yes.
Because one's not enough. Utah Stars with two Z's. I think it was a Sparks Stars game. And there were, maybe five people in the crowd. It was, it was not packed at all. So just to see all of, the evolution of the game, not just, the players and the money that they have earned now, the money that they're making now, but also the fan investment. Like, can you imagine, them thinking mm-hmm. of Gainbridge Fieldhouse and what that arena might look like on any given night, or the fact that Atlanta packed out State Farm Arena. I'm sure just beyond their wildest dreams. So very, very cool to see there. And then there was also a little bit of poetry with the way that game ended. Neka Gumake
just a little
hits the buzzer beater. Neka Gumake, number 30, might I add, in the 30th season.
Oh, have not right? seen that point.
And Neka, the president of the WNBPA, a pioneer for the league, instrumental in the current CBA getting ratified. Neka's been in the league for a decade and a half. She's seen the growth that this league has experienced and has been a big part of it. So just felt like it was almost divine intervention there that Neka got that last shot and she was able to win it for the LA Sparks.
Yeah, I liked Lynn Roberts, Sparks head coach's quote. She said, "No one in our locker room would have picked another person to hit that shot. What she's done for this league, she's one of one." It did feel incredibly poetic. I think maybe that's why it feels like we're finally shooting towards, a true celebration. Like, we are fully, with expansion of the season, we are fully into that 30th season now, the 30th year, All-Stars coming up. Like, I expect there to be a lot more coming, but a very good game and a strong game from the Sparks. I liked how they ended it. It was not just Neka, some really solid play around the court. Unfortunately, Kelsey Plum has sustained a lower leg injury that broke this morning. She'll be out for a month. So I know you and I had talked about, like, maybe this is what helps them shoot into some success here. It seems like maybe not.
I don't see the Sparks getting to the postseason without the efforts of Kelsey Plum. So no. I hate that for them, and kind of it doesn't overshadow what was a really special and monumental evening for the Sparks, but it is kind of put a little bit of a damper on it. So that was not just the end, like you mentioned, Cass. That wasn't the end of 30th anniversary celebrations. The entire season will be what feels like a true paying homage to the WNBA and a true celebration for everywhere where this league has gone and everything this league has achieved. So plenty of more on that to come throughout the season. And of course, plenty of more of that to come here on Hoops 360. But we do have a pretty massive game coming up on Tuesday. The Commissioner's Cup Final will be taking place on Tuesday. New York Liberty, the Las Vegas Aces. It just feels right, Cass. It just feels right that it is a clashing of these two teams, these two brands, these superstars, Sabrina and Stewie and Asia Wilson and that entire Las Vegas core. We did get a little bit of a preview on it of it on Tuesday night. Liberty on the road at the Aces. They get the 87-76 win. Liberty led a majority of that game. They were coming into that game off of back-to-back losses. I expected the Liberty to coming in, be coming into that matchup pissed off and ready to get back into the win column. But what stood out to you about that matchup, and how much do you think that could really relate to what we could see in the Commissioner's Cup final?
To your point, Becky Hammon said, I think pretty early in her post-game presser, like, this was almost a must-win for New York. They lose two the way that they lose. Like, they had to come in. I love this rivalry. I think part of me is like, oh, again? We're doing this again. The other part of me is like, well, these have been, you know, pretty solidly the best two teams over the past 4 years. You know, the Liberty were built to counteract the Aces. The series that we have seen between them have been absolutely incredible. To our point earlier, there is bad blood, you know, like this is a rivalry. They want to beat the other. There's a seriousness there. In terms of what I saw Tuesday night, Sabrina Ionescu kind of getting back to form. I think that was her first double-double of the year. She had only played in about 5 games leading up to this due to injury. That's going to be huge for them. She and Stewie had some key threes. Stewie has not been shooting the three ball well. She was 2 of 3. She had a big one late. Maureen Johannes and her ability to hit from three, I think, is going to be important. And I think overall for the Liberty, it's almost always the case. Like, their bench is so deep. Well, I could say a million things about the Liberty, right? Like, they're lengthy, they're tall, they're huge, they can bring in different pieces. And we saw that. We saw Tusabali leaving the game early. She did not return after it looked like being hit in the head. So they can find ways to fill holes in the moment. And I think directly counteracting that to the Aces, particularly where they sit right now, they maybe don't have that. I think they need to find more outside of Asia Wilson and Jackie Young and Chelsea Gray and Jewel Lloyd, as incredible as they are. Kennedy Carter has not played since June 13th. She has an illness. It seems like Becky is saying that she's ready to come back soon, but they absolutely need that production off the bench. And I think if she returns for the Commissioner's Cup, it looks a little different. But I hope it's a great game in the way that we have seen these two teams provide great games.
I was just about to say the difference that 15 to 20 points off the bench from Kennedy Carter could make for the Aces, because there have been when times, you know, Jackie Young just doesn't feel like that same kind of offensive presence maybe that we're used to Jackie Young being. At times this year for the Aces, I'm like, is anybody going to help Asia? Like, if the Aces lose a game where Asia drops 25 to 30 points, that's just on everybody else. That's just the depth that is normally such an advantage for the Aces not stepping up in the way that they need to. And it feels like the depth of the Liberty, you mentioned the size, the length, and the depth of that team. I mean, the fact that you can get, 14 points off the bench from Honshu, the fact that you can get 25 to 30 points off the bench on any given night from the New York Liberty. And the Aces have a deep bench as well, but it's just when you put those head-to-head, I wouldn't put anyone's depth over the New York Liberty's depth right now. So Kennedy Carter, to me, feels like a pivotal piece, not just of this matchup, but such a pivotal piece for the Vegas Aces moving forward. I just love the fact, though, that we get two wildly competitive teams with a trophy on the line. Like, sure, like in terms of the standings, a regular season game outside of the Commissioner's Cup final probably bears a little bit more weight. But I almost feel like if everybody on those sidelines were like, yeah, okay, Liberty wants to get back into the win column, but we understand that the bigger matchup is here to come in the next week.
Yeah, I'm also looking at, you know, the interesting thing to me, many interesting things I think about this. First of all, it's almost historically speaking more advantageous to lose the Commissioner's Cup. Doesn't mean you should purposely lose, but like the loser usually goes on to more success than the winner. The second part about this is that this is actually, I believe, hold on, let me scroll.
Hold, please.
This is the first one I think that the Liberty are actually hosting, because when they hosted the Lynx, they were not at home. They had to play out at the Islanders' house. And that was a huge thing, is because the NBA draft, they wanted the date changed. The WNBA said, no, this is the date. There was controversy about it. So they will be home in Barclays. And on that note, I'm very interested in how packed the stands will be. The interesting thing about the Commissioner's Cup is that you don't know where it is until 2 weeks before, I think. And so that does impact ticket sales and stuff like that and availability. We all have busy lives, you know, if you're a fan. So some things to watch.
I just thought of this. So again, hold please. Are Commissioner's Cup tickets more expensive? Like, is going to the Commissioner's Cup on Tuesday going to be more expensive? And I know that, you know, the game last night was in Vegas, so maybe it's not the perfect comparison. But would it be more expensive to go to the Commissioner's Cup than it would be to go to a regular season matchup between these two teams? That's like probably another thing that can impact attendance. It's like, okay, well, again, different because the game was in Vegas, but still, like, okay, if I can watch these two teams play for half the price, I'm just going to do that. So tickets for the Commissioner's Cup start at $54.
Oh, that's not bad.
So compare that to, okay, less than a week later, the Lynx go to Barclays and the ticket sales start at $38, but the Dallas Wings come to town and then those tickets are $74. Who in the heck is setting these ticket prices? There's an awfully wide variance there. Essentially, no, they don't seem wildly more expensive than another regular season game. And that is the conclusion that we have come to.
That's what we're here for, to ask questions and answer them.
Yeah, ask questions and answer them and leave you waiting in the process. That's the kind of content you can only get here on this podcast. Any final Commissioner's Cup thoughts before we look ahead to some other games we're keeping an eye on this next week?
I love the rose gold trophy.
Cute.
It's my thought. We will have actually one last thought, one last note. We will have a first time, two-time winner. The Liberty won in 2023 by beating the Aces at Michelob Ultra Arena. The Aces won in 2022 by beating the Chicago Sky. Yeah, so one of them has to win this year. We will have a first-time, two-time winner. The former winners are Seattle Storm in 2021. What a weird year that first Commissioner's Cup was, by the way. We should just throw that in the trash. No disrespect to the Seattle Storm. Minnesota Lynx won in 2024, and the Fever won last year on the Minnesota Lynx 4.
I do remember that. And no Caitlin in that game.
Correct.
Right,
correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So that was a wild game as well. And we'll also see in terms of trends, is this going to be the third year of the Liberty's three trips to the Commissioner's Cup that they also find themselves in the WNBA finals? Mm-hmm. Time will tell. Because it's been a pretty good omen for the Liberty in the past. So obviously, we're going to keep our eyes on that game in its lone window on Tuesday, June 30th. That game is at 7 o'clock Eastern time, of course, like we mentioned, at Barclays Center in New York. We've also got Mercury and Fever on Wednesday, like we mentioned. Get your popcorn ready, because I know I will be sapped for that one. But on Thursday, we've got Wings and Aces. The Wings continue to just flex that they belong with some of the big dogs in the WNBA. They just beat the Aces, what was this, last week by 20 points? So massive, massive win for the Dallas Wings. Fascinating to see that matchup. And then we've got another battle of some heavyweights, a battle of rematch, rather, of Olivia Miles, number 2 overall pick, AZ Fudd, number 1 overall pick, with a Sunday 2 p.m. Eastern time matinee between the Lynx and the Wings. Any of those matchups or any, you know, details of that one that really stood out to you, Cass?
I love all those matchups. We should circle all of them. I think Minnesota, Dallas is such an interesting one simply because, as you said, like we have the top two picks. I think that's always fun. And I think we've said this before, but because they have the top two picks, like these are going to be teams that we could see an incredible battle, you know, something I've been thinking about, I guess, with the whole Aces Liberty and watching them last night was how Asia Wilson and Brianna Stewart are very much kind of like the faces of the league in terms of veteran leadership. And they kind of took over that a couple years ago when Sue Bird and Sylvia Fowles left. And so you look at this next group of talent and you wonder who is there going to be just kind of like two teams at the top? Is it Olivia Miles and like AZ Fudd, Paige Beckers? Like, is it Caitlin Clark in the mix? I think there could be three or four, but it's just like the next generation. It's fun.
It is fun to see. And speaking of that, I was looking up earlier the Rookie of the Year odds just to see how they had shifted. So recording this podcast June 24th, these odds came out June 22nd. So going into the season, AZ Fudd was the betting favorite to win Rookie of the Year at plus 250, Olivia Miles at plus 260. So right there together.
Really? Oh.
Most recently, on June 22nd, the odds are as follows. Olivia Miles minus 5,000 to win Rookie of the Year, where AZ Fudd is plus 1,300 and AwaFam is just behind, or not just behind, but AwaFam is behind at plus 4,000. So things can change. Like Sonia Citron was Rookie of the Month in May last year, and then Paige Beckers won Rookie of the Year. Things can change, but right now, at least Vegas is telling you, it's Olivia Miles and it ain't even close. And I don't disagree in the slightest.
Oh, I don't either. And I will leave us a little teaser for next week when we talk about All-Star. All-Star ballots for media are due this weekend. Olivia Miles is already on my ballot as a lock.
She deserves it. She absolutely positively deserves it. I mean, Olivia Miles has been such a joy to watch in her rookie season so far. So that's a little teaser of what's to come back, what's to come up next week on the podcast. So make sure to stick around then. We appreciate you for being here. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. Make sure to subscribe to the Yahoo Sports YouTube page and subscribe to Hoops 360 on your preferred podcast platform. And if you're coming back, if you're a regular listener, thanks for being here. We always appreciate you. Make sure to hit that subscribe button. And we'll be back next week with a full breakdown of the Commissioner's Cup and all of the latest in the WNBA. She's Cassandra Negley. I'm Caroline Fenton. See you next week.